ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ Today's subject is a dialogue from the Mahabharata. Now, at the very beginning, just a few words about this great text, Mahabharata. It is well known as the most extensive, the largest literary classical work in the world. It has got several versions. In a standardized version, you find more than 100,000 verses. And in its larger versions, many of these manuscripts are found in different manuscript libraries in the world, in the British Museum, the Munich, and several manuscript libraries in India. Some of the larger versions have got more than 130,000 verses. So that's the extensive nature of this book. Hundreds of dialogues dealing with histories of scores of dynasties, kingdoms, and empires spanning over thousands of years. Some of them mythological, some of them actually historical, because the place where Bhagavad Gita was delivered is historically proved. And many of the places associated with Mahabharata can still be found in India. There are historical evidences that prove that these are not mythological events. But there is also a lot of mythology in this book. As you know, it is full of dialogues, maybe the most celebrated, the most well-known dialogue is Bhagavad Gita itself, just 700 verses out of a book more than 100,000 verses, so that's the size of the book. Yaksha Prashna. That's the title of this dialogue which I'm going to discuss now. Prashna means questions, which indirectly imply answers also. So, in English translations you find the story of the righteous crane. Yaksha is a mythological celestial being, not actually a bird. You can equate Yaksha with some angels that we read about in the Old Testament or New Testament, residing in the heaven, something like that. A good-natured being, a celestial being who help human beings in their spiritual pursuits, to give them wisdom and instructions. So that's the meaning of the word yaksha. The yaksha takes the form of a crane, a bird. And it's a dialogue between Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira is the oldest of the five brothers called Pandavas. Arjuna's eldest brother. So Yudhishthira, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula and Sahadeva, these are the five brothers. So Yudhishthira is perhaps the most learned person, a great philosopher, a very righteous, pious person, a man who led a very pious life. He's a very wise person. So this is a dialogue between a celestial being but come incognito, taking the form of a crane. And he's testing Yudhishthira's wisdom. That is the whole purpose. And this dialogue contains not necessarily religious teachings, worshipping God or meditation, prayer, nothing. It's simple common sense wisdom. How you should live in this world. How you should interact with others. And how you can live a wise man's, wise woman's life in this world. Now, the story goes like this. I won't go too far into the story, unless, of course, I may get a chance to discuss this again another. Because remember, these questions and answers cover 125 questions. And Yudhishthira's correct answers to these 125 questions. It runs into almost 34, 35 verses. Each verse contains many questions and the succeeding verse contains answers to this question. So the story is this. You know, Pandavas, the five brothers, were sentenced to live in a forest for 12 years. There's a story behind that you can perhaps ask later on. You are most welcome, or maybe on another occasion. So they were living in exile in the forest, and the last year of the last, I mean the 12th year of their exile life should be led without being recognized by anybody. In Sanskrit it's called ajñātavāsa. You should live without being known to anyone. So these five brothers were walking in the forest, you can imagine. And as they walked, the eldest of them, Yudhishthira, he felt very tired, exhausted, hungry and thirsty. So one of the younger brothers, Nakula, he volunteered, "Well, I will go ahead and find a place where drinking water is available, maybe a well or a stream or a lake." So one of the younger brothers, Nakula and Sahadeva, they are twins, so they are the youngest brothers. So they volunteered, "I shall go and fetch some water for you." He told his elder brother, Yudhishthira, and he went ahead. And as he went ahead, he found a beautiful, wonderful lake, pure, crystal clear water. And nobody around, except a huge crane, a divine-looking crane, a bird sitting there. And this man was younger, he was a relatively very young person. He was hungry and thirsty. He wanted to drink some water. So when he was about to drink water, the crane told him, "Look here. Okay, you can drink water, I understand. But before you actually drink this water, you should answer my questions. I'm going to put some questions to you. You should answer those questions." The young man, you know, impulsive person, he didn't care. A bird asking him to answer its questions. So he had no patience and he went ahead and drank some water. Of course, the crane had warned him, "If you ever try to attempt to drink this water without answering my questions, the water will turn into poison. So don't attempt." The young man didn't care and he went ahead, drank some water. He fell dead or unconscious. He fell dead. So now the other four brothers, they were waiting for water. The younger brother is not coming. So one after Sahadeva, then Arjuna, the Bhima, all the other three of the brothers, except Yudhishthira, they went ahead, they met with the same fate. They also attempted to drink water from the lake without listening to the warning from the crane, and water turned into poison, and they also fell dead. Yudhishthira was waiting, the four brothers missing, and finally he decided to go in search of them. And he found these four brothers, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula and Sahadeva, four brothers, lying dead on the shore of this beautiful lake, and a big crane sitting there like a philosopher, watching the whole thing. So Yudhishthira went ahead, and he was very thirsty. He also attempted to drink water, and the crane warned him, "Look here, don't ever try to drink this water without answering my question. If you ever try to drink water, it will turn into poison. So if you want to drink water, you first answer my questions." Yudhishthira was a wise man. So he found this which we have some problem here. These four brothers, they are not ordinary human beings. They are great warriors, learned philosophers, not very inferior to him, except perhaps in wisdom. So he thought there should be a mystery behind, and the crane may not be just an ordinary bird. So Yudhishthira said, "Okay, put questions to me." So the bird, crane, puts questions to Yudhishthira. And Yudhishthira answers these questions. Of course, before this, there is another part of the story. To complete the picture, that also I should explain now. These brothers were walking in the forest. A sage appeared from nowhere and told them, "You know, I was trying to start my fire ritual. You know, you are going to find this Homa ceremony. Remember, not like this, but the tradition continues, this fire ceremony." So every day they had to do fire ceremonies in Vedic times. There were no temples of puja or anything. So one sage came to them as they were walking in the forest. "Look here, I had two twigs of wooden blocks which I used to put together, hit each other to get fire, and one deer came and took away this. So you should help me by going in search of these wooden blocks." And these five brothers were actually wandering all over the forest in search of the deer. That's the earlier part of the story, which is not very significant or related to the subject right now. So remember the present context. Yudhishthira has already reached the lake, beautiful water, the crane sitting there, so you know the story, already told you, and the crane told him, "You should first of all answer my questions and then you can drink water." Now what are the questions? One of the early questions I want to tell you, there's something very interesting. One of the questions that comes at the very beginning itself is very simple. I shall actually read the Sanskrit text. The question is this, and this is the most profound question. This question gives you a glimpse to the nature of the deep philosophical discussion between the crane and Yudhishthira. The question is, what is the greatest wonder in this world? The greatest wonder. One may think maybe Taj Mahal, Eiffel Tower, if you believe in that, or maybe the Great Wall, the pyramids, these are some of the great wonders. But these wonders are coming and going. They may exist maybe for some thousands of years. Maybe after tens of thousands of years, they won't be existing there. So they're all coming and going. But what is one eternal, unforgettable, inescapable mystery and wonder? And then, what makes a person happy? That is one of the most profound questions ever discussed in this text of more than 100,000 verses. Actually, it comes to the end of this dialogue, but that is considered to be the greatest and the most profound subject discussed in the Mahabharata. This mystery is discussed in 700 verses in the Bhagavad Gita and in many other dialogues in the Mahabharata. In fact, in Sanskrit text is ko modade kim aasharyam ka pantha kacha vartika mamaidam sadira prasnan kathayitva jalam piba. The crane tells you this, Tira. Who is a happy person? And then, what's the most wonderful thing in this world? And what's the real path? What's the way for a person to live in this world? And what is the news? What is, that's the word. Ka varta means what is the news? Apparently, it may not make any sense. But if you go to the nature of the answers, you find you can write volumes on these answers. And Mahabharata discusses these questions. I mean, what we should do in our life to remain happy and contented, and how to interact with problems which are there in front of you, but not so very obvious, not so visible. You know, kim aasharya means what is a great wonder. A great wonder that you can see in front of you, like a huge tower, or maybe the great wall, or Taj Mahal, or maybe the pyramid, or the ancient structures in Rome. These things you can see in front of you, you can take a photograph, and you can be very proud of it, have seen that. But your ancestors who lived maybe 5,000 years ago, they did not see them. They did not exist when your ancestors lived 4,000, 5,000 years ago. And your descendants who are going to come after 4,000 years, they are not going to see them. They can't exist, pyramids and all that. So it is not an eternal wonder, because it is visible. But here, the crane is asking the question, what is the most mysterious, the most invisible, the most intensely felt, and the most unavoidable, the most inescapable mystery in the world? Kim aascharyam? The answer is very famous. Ahanyahanni bhudani gacchantiha himalayam shesha sthavaram icchanti kim aascharyam adaparam. This is the first. You know what he's asking? Every day or every moment, people, animals, insects, they are born and they die. You can't find a single moment when something, some insect, some bacterium, or maybe human beings are not dying. You ask any person working in the hospice, or maybe a surgeon working in the hospital, a person who is running a crematorium, he will admit, yes, this is a fact. But this is obvious. But the mystery is, those who are left behind, they think they are never going to die. They are never going to get old. They are going to remain young, healthy and happy all the time. Remember, when I tell you this, you may perhaps disagree with me. You have every right. It is true that we know as a fact that every person will die. Yam gacchantiha himalayam. From here, they are going to the palace of the Lord of Death every day. Ahanyahanni means every day. Let us say, we can say every hour, every minute, this is happening. Some creature, some insect, some animal, some trees and plants, and human beings also. Maybe mountains will die, maybe once in a few millions of years. The rivers may die perhaps once in a few tens of thousands of years. Human beings die every day. Insects die every minute. So that's why this man is, Yudhishthira is telling, Gacchantiha Himalayam, from here, not Himalaya, Yamalayam. Yama is the lord of death. Alayam is the residential place. So Yamalayam means the palace, the place where the lord of death is residing. But then, Seshaha Sthavaramichanti. We are seeing all this, but we have a feeling within us that this won't happen to us. Now, there are two views in this matter. We know, as I mentioned earlier, that every human being has to die. But at the same time, we have a feeling that it is not going to happen to us. Without this feeling, you won't be able to live in this world. I don't know how many of you are aware of this fact. Unless you are able to forget that you are going to die sometime, you can't really live in this world. You won't think of the need to go to hospital, to take some maybe medicines, to undergo massage treatment, to make our body better, healthier. Now, unless we have this, at the subconscious level, we have this feeling, well, I can remain, I can escape this universal destiny of all human beings. Without that feeling at the subconscious level, we won't be able to live in this world psychologically. Because we know at the bottom of our mind, we know we cannot escape. But there is also a feeling, well, I can or I should make an attempt. Without that, you won't be able to carry on your everyday duties and responsibilities. Buddhists call it the clinging to life. It is a great thing, actually. It is something positive. It is important. This body is important. This life is important. This is an opportunity. It's an occasion for us to do great things, to achieve great things, to live a great life, to do great things. Certainly, no doubt about it. But what Yudhishthira is telling you is, the greatest wonder is, people frequently forget this. If they don't forget this, they cannot quarrel. They cannot fight over a few acres of land. They cannot, nations cannot fight with neighboring countries, with neighboring nations. People cannot fight, people cannot quarrel if they remember this fact. Because if they remember this fact that there is one place where everyone is destined to go, one place where everyone is bound to reach, if we remember that, then we cannot quarrel, we cannot fight. So people still forget that truth. And this is a most mysterious thing. So Yudhishthira tells, what greater wonder is this? Is there in this world and this? Kim asharyam adhaparam. Adhaparam kim asharyam. Greater than this, what other wonder can you think of? The next important question in that same verse is, kapantha, what's the way out? Well, that answer is also very profound. Tarko apradishta sudayo vipinna naiko Rishir yasya matam pramanam dharmasya tattum nikitam gukhaya mahajano yena gatasya pantha. The meaning is this. If we go on arguing about what is the right thing to do, ethical, moral ideas, or read books, essays on ethics, or reading books on different philosophers, there is no end to that. Because there are as many philosophers, as many philosophical systems as there are people seeking them, really speaking. So there is no uniformity or mutual agreement with regard to what's the right path for all of us to take. religions, different religions, different cultures, different nationalities, different ethical, moral doctrines recommend different ideas as to what's the best thing, what's the moral and most moral, most appropriate thing to do and speak and act. There are controversies, conflicting opinions about everything in this world. Tarkaha apradishta means you cannot reach a conclusion. Impossible. Can we ever imagine, well, today I'm going to read all the greatest books in the world and then going to decide what I should do? It's not going to happen. You read one book, next moment you read something else. So there is a conflict of opinion. Again, you read something else, looking for some kind of an agreement. It never happens. So books and philosophies and ideas and logic, they don't give us any solution to some of the fundamental problems that we are facing. That's what Yudhishthira tells. And Sudayo Vibhanna, books are so different from each other. There are so many varieties of books. Sudhi means actually religious scriptures. I mean, every religion has one recommendation or other. And there is not one single recommendation that is agreeable to everyone. That's what Yudhishthira is telling. You know, remember, this is not spiritual practice. This is intellectual search for the most reasonable, logical thing to practice. You are not going to come to any conclusion if you are traveling your journey at the level of intellectual or logical search for the most appropriate thing to do. And then there is not one great sage, naiko rishi yasya padam pramanam. You cannot find one sage or one philosopher whose views are agreeable to the entire humanity. No. Every religion, every philosopher has his own ways, his own doctrine, so people frequently dispute. That's a problem. Because people look at the surface, the superficial meaning of everything. So they cannot come to any mutual agreement. And now, so Yudhishthira tells you, dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhaya. I mean, the essence of dharma, the essence of propriety and righteous conduct, it is not so visible. It is hidden. It is so subtle. It is so invisible. But there is one way out. That is mahajano yena gatasya pantha. What we can do? Let us see how Buddha reacted to a situation which I am facing. How Christ confronted a problem which I am facing today. How Sri Ramakrishna would have confronted the problem that we are facing today. If we can think of the teachings of the great teachers the world has produced, or if you don't believe in religions, okay, you can think of how Socrates would have confronted the problem you are facing today. That is another way. Socrates was not necessarily a religious person. He was certainly not an atheist. So, what Yudhishthira is telling is a simple solution. If you find yourself in total conflict, absolutely incapable of coming to an agreement as to what's the right path in front of you, what's the right way of living in this world, there is one simple, easy solution. Find out how great men, some great persons, how they reacted to the problem, to the set of circumstances that we are facing today. And that is your path. This is a very simple, common sense solution that Yudhishthira is placing before us. Now, of course, the last important question is very simple. That question is this: who is the ideal person, and who is the person who possesses all riches? The question is, Vyakhyada me tuya prasna യാഥാതഥ്യം പരന്തപ പുരുഷം ത്വിദാനിം വ്യാഖ്യാഹി യശ്ച സർവധനീ നരഹ. ദ ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ ഈസ് ദിസ് കംസ് അറ്റ് ദ എൻഡ് ഓഫ് ദിസ് ഡയലോഗ്. യു ഹാവ് ആൻസേർഡ് ഓൾ മൈ ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻസ്, 125 ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻസ്. നൗ വൺ ലാസ്റ്റ് ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ: ഹു ഇസ് ദ റിയൽ മാൻ, ഹു ഇസ് ദ റിയൽ ഐഡിയൽ പേഴ്സൺ, ആൻഡ് ഹു ഇസ് സർവധനി, മീൻസ് ദ വൺ ഹു പൊസസസ് ഓൾ റിച്ചസ്, ഓൾ കൈൻഡ്സ് ഓഫ് വെൽത്ത്, വെൽത്ത് ഇൻ ടേംസ് ഓഫ് കൾച്ചർ, വാല്യൂസ് ആൻഡ് മെനി അതർ ക്വാളിറ്റീസ് ദറ്റ് വി നോർമലി അട്രിബ്യൂട്ട് ടു എൻ ഐഡിയൽ പേഴ്സൺ. ഹു ഇസ് ദാറ്റ് പേഴ്സൺ ഹു ഇസ് എൻഡോർഡ് വിത്ത് ഓൾ ദീസ് റിച്ചസ്? സോ ദ ആൻസർ ഈസ് ദ ഗ്രേറ്റസ്റ്റ് വെൽത്ത് ഈസ് റെപ്യൂട്ടേഷൻ കമ്മിങ് ഫ്രം ഗുഡ് ഡീഡ്സ്. ആൻഡ് ദെൻ so long as a person is well known for his good deeds, he is actually the ideal person who is actually living. And then a person who is able to face situations, happy and unhappy situations, with a sense of equanimity of mind, he is actually the richest man in the world, because he possesses a rich mind, a rich attitude, a rich approach to the problems of life. So he is the richest man. That's the answer. Divam sprishadi bhumim cha shabda punyena karmana yavasa shabdo bhavadi tavat purusha uchyate tulye priya priye yasya sugadukhe tathaiva cha adida anagade chobhe savai sarvadhanishraha. So a person, you know, see, tulye priya priye, the one who has an equanimity of mind when he is facing something that makes him happy, and also when he is facing something that makes him unhappy, still if he can keep an equanimity of mind, and then if he can remain untouched in a state of perfect stability and equanimity, that person is actually the richest man, because the richest wealth, the most important wealth for a person, is a mind, an attitude that can look upon everything, whether good or bad, happy or unhappy, with a sense of equanimity. That mind of equanimity is the greatest wealth that a person can ever possess. Such a person is called sarvadhani, means he possesses all riches, all wealth. So in fact, you find the greatness of this dialogue is, it is not just about the religion as such, but it is about some of the fundamental problems of human life and how to face those problems. I can go through a few more important discussions here. Another context, Yudhishthira is asking one very important question. Sorry, Yaksha is asking one question, Yudhishthira is answering. The question is this: how does a person become learned? Yaksha's question. How does one attain greatness? How does one obtain a second? How does one become intelligent? So I shall try to explain these questions. The Sanskrit verse is, Kenasvit shotriyo bhavadi kenasvit vindade mahat kenasvit ditiyavan bhavadi rajan kena cha buddhiman sudena shotriyo bhavadi tapasa vindade mahat ധൃത്യാദിതീവാൻ ഭവതി ബുദ്ധിമാൻ വൃദ്ധസേവയ. വെരി ഫേമസ് ക്വട്ടേഷൻ, ഐ മീൻ വേർഡ്സ് ഫ്രം ദി മഹാഭാരത. ഇറ്റ് സേസ് വൺ ബിക്കംസ് ലേണഡ് ബൈ സ്റ്റഡിയിങ് ബുക്സ് ദറ്റ് കണ്ടെയിൻ അവർ കൾച്ചറൽ സ്പിരിച്വൽ ഹെറിറ്റേജ് കമ്മിങ് ടു അസ് ഫ്രം ഏൻഷ്യൻ ട്രഡീഷൻസ്. This is a very important thing. Now, let us say, for example, in this modern age, 21st century, people who think, well, We have to be modern in this modern age, this age of information technology, rocket technology, global village, things like that. So we need not worry about what Plato, Aristotle, Socrates taught, what Buddha or Christ or Shankaracharya taught. We have to go by the present paradigm, the existing paradigm of life. This is one view. So what happens, you know, they are actually depriving themselves of this wealth of learning, the wealth of culture and wisdom, which are contained, which are enshrined in the ancient classical books. If you remove these branches of learning, philosophy, mysticism, history, all these higher learnings, values and ideals which have enriched human civilization coming from ancient books, it's called Srutayaha. That's why Yudhishthira answers Srutena Srotriyo Bhavati. Person becomes learner, Sruta. Sruta means reading great ancient classical books. In Indian Vedantic context, you may call the Vedas. Of course, different religious cultural traditions have got their own Vedas. I mean, the repositories of great learning and wisdom coming from ancient heritage. By reading those great books, one person really becomes learned and wise. Secondly, then a person becomes great through practicing austerities. He may be fabulously rich and wealthy, but still, if you practice, let's say, values like simple living, a little bit of austerities, asceticism, that actually makes you great. So when we are able to say no to things which are really unnecessary in our life, then only we become really great. Not making use of everything that is available, but rather setting a pattern for ourselves by practicing a set of austerities. That's the only way for a person to achieve greatness. And then there is something very interesting. Rajan Kena, Buddhiman, Bhavadi Buddhiman, Buddha Sevaya. How do you become wise? The word wisdom, W, you should give capital letter, wisdom. How do you obtain wisdom? And Yudhishthira's answer is very, very important. Vruddha Sevaya. By associating, serving old people. Not a very agreeable suggestion for this 21st century. And Yudhishthira tells you that when a young person associates only with young persons, he doesn't really grow in wisdom. But if a young person, who may be naturally immature because of youth and impulsiveness, if that young person associates with older persons who have maturity and more learning, more wisdom, that young person actually, he's really getting real education. So that's why Buddhiman Bhavadi Vruddha Sevaya. Vruddha means old people. You know, old in the sense, Vruddha means Jnana Vruddha, Vayo Vruddha, Tapo Vruddha. There are three ways of getting old. Biological old age doesn't count much. But there is another. Jnana Vruddha means you become old in terms of wisdom. Shankaracharya became a great philosopher when he was less than 7 years old. So that is called Jnana Vruddha. Tapo Vruddha means person becomes Vruddha, means aged. You know, getting aged is not a state of, a kind of unhappiness or misery. Getting aged is actually a happy experience according to Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira may not be very popular in our own times, perhaps. Yudhishthira tells that an aged person is to be worshipped and to be, to be considered to be a teacher, an ideal person to associate with. And that he, jnanavurdha, vayavurdha, tabhovurdha, old and aged in terms of knowledge and wisdom, old and aged in terms of austerity and maturity, and of course old and aged in terms of biological, physical age. That's also very important. So he says, you grow in your education, in your culture, in your wisdom, when you associate with people who are wiser than you, who are more learned than you, who are more mature than you, then only you grow. If you associate with people of your own age group, your peer groups in terms of learning and wisdom, then you don't grow very much. And if you always associate with people who are less aged than you, who are even less learned, less wise, then your wisdom also will go down. So he says, there is a particular kind of maturity and wisdom that we can obtain only by associating with people who are aged, more aged than you, means more learned, more austere, much wiser than you. By that, you also grow. That's what Yudhishthira says. It's a very buddhiman bhavadi vruddhasevaya. I say, well, it's an oft-quoted statement from the Mahabharata. You become wise when you associate with people who are wiser than you. And then there is another statement that's very a precious gem for those who are looking for values in family life. One question that Yaksha puts to Yudhishthira is very famous, you know. Kimsit gurudaram bhumeke, kimsit uchidaram chakkad, kinjit sigradaram vayoh, kimsit bhukudaram trunam. Mata gurudara bhumeke, khak pido uchidaradar sthara, manak sigradaram vada chinda bhukudari trunam. I shall explain this. The question is, what is heavier than earth? This kimsit gurudaram bhumehe. Bhumehe gurudaram means heavier than earth. So earth is very heavy. And is there something heavier, weightier, more important than earth? He says, the answer is, mother is heavier than the earth. So, because a child's relationship mother is the most sacred, most important, and most inseparable. And there are many scriptural statements in the Mahabharata that tell you that behind every great man, there's a great woman, either in the form of a great wife, and more often that, in the form of a great mother. So this seems to be a real fact. You can't think of any great man who have made any significant contribution to the world, either religious leaders or even in material fields, who did not have a loving, affectionate mother whom the son or daughter considered to be heavier than, higher than, greater than everything else. Think of a man like ordinary people. We are not religious leaders, a man like Napoleon, Einstein, anyone for that matter, you find. They will always find a great loving mother behind. Vivekananda or Shankaracharya, anyone you find, you can find. So, very interesting. So, because that's the holiest and most intimate and most inseparable, maybe the most spiritual relationship that you can ever think of in human life. That is. So that's why, in ancient times, when students left their Vedic hermitages, Vedic schools, going back to their homes, to marry and become householders. They used to be given a kind of convocation address, a set of instructions by the teachers. So in their convocation address, the first instruction was that Matrudevo Bhava, that's one. Pitrudevo Bhava, that's how it begins. I mean, let your mother be as respectable to you, as honorable to you, as God Himself. That could be a possible English translation or explanation. So Yudhishthira says, there is nothing heavier in this world than mother. Heavier in the sense greater, more sublime, most wonderful, more spiritual. So the answer to the question, Kim Sit Gurudharam Bhumehi. The answer is this, Mata Gurudhara Bhumehi means mother is heavier than earth. And the next question is, Kim Sit Uchidharam Chakhat. And what is higher than the sky? The answer is Pida Uchidharas Tatha. I mean, Pida means father. Father is higher than. Khat means higher than sky. So, what is higher than the sky? Father. Father is the one who is the first teacher, the one from whom you learn. So, mother is the first and father is the second. Mother is heavier than earth. And father is higher than the sky, literally speaking. Mother is heavier than the earth on which we stand, on which we subsist. The earth sustains us, gives us food, water, everything. But the sky, the air, the light, that's what enables us to continue living this world. That's why, you know, Pida Uchidharas Tatha. Father is higher than the sky. Manasigradaram vatat. Then mind is faster, moves more, much more rapidly, faster than air. That everyone knows, because the moment a thought comes to our mind, it has reached there. When we think of something, that what we think of, it happens simultaneously. So, if mind is faster than anything else. Manasikradaram vata. Chinta bhagudari trinam. Then, what is more numerous than human beings in this world? That is thoughts. We don't know how many millions of thoughts we think in our life. Maybe billions. Every day, every minute, hundreds of thoughts simultaneously come to our mind. So thoughts are much more numerous than anything in this world in terms of numerality. And then mind is faster. And mother is heavier. And father is higher. These are some of the very, very interesting questions that you find in the Mahabharata. And then there is something else. I know it's not possible to go through the entire 34, 35 verses. But before concluding, I want to tell you, and this will help you to better appreciate the profoundness, the profound wisdom of these questions and answers. When Yudhishthira answered all these questions, the utmost satisfaction of the teacher of this crane, what happened was, all these four brothers are lying dead on the lake. So the crane told him, okay, you have answered all my questions. As a reward for this, I shall give you one boon. I can give life to one of them. Or you ask me one boon first. That's first. You can ask me anything. One boon. So the first boon that Yudhishthira asked was not even the life of his brothers. Because to begin with, Yudhishthira was asked by a sage to recover his wooden blocks that was needed for him to make fire for fire ceremony. That was the beginning of the story. So Yudhishthira was not even thinking of asking life of his brothers to be given as the first boon. He said, well, you know, you first of all make sure that those wooden blocks are returned to the sage who will need them for his daily rituals. Then the crane told him, oh, you know that I am the one who took the form of that deer, took away the wooden blocks. I told him I can return immediately. So that was easy, something very easy. Then Yudhishthira, he was surprised at the wisdom and the generosity of this man, Yudhishthira. And then Yama, the crane, told him, look here, I shall give you another boon, a reward for this wonderful answers you gave. I can allow one of your brothers to live. I can return life to one of your brothers. Whom do you want to come back to life? You know, Bhima and Arjuna were Yudhishthira's own brothers. Nakula and Sahadeva were sons of his stepmother. So, you know, his father had two wives. Kunti was one and another one. So, what happened, you know, Yudhishthira did not ask for the life of his own brothers, Bhima and Arjuna. What he did, you know, he said, my stepmother, she doesn't have a single child. When she dies, there should be somebody to perform the after death ceremony of my stepmother. I am the eldest son of my own mother. So if she dies, I am here to take care of his after death ceremonies. But if my stepmother dies, she will have no children because both Nakula and Sahadeva, both are dead. So Yudhishthira did not ask for the life of his own brothers. He rather asked for the life of one of his stepmother's children, Nakula. Let Nakula live so that my stepmother will have somebody to take care of her and also to do her after-death ceremonies. And then this man was the Yaksha was so amazed at his generosity. So as a reward, he returned the life of all the five brothers. That's how the story ends. So before coming to that, I shall just go through another set of questions and answers. One question that Yaksha is asking is, what makes you happy, pleasant, when you abandon it? That means, what if abandoned will make you happy and pleasant? And what if you give up will not lead you to sorrow? I mean, what if you give up will make you happy, and what if you give up will not create any sorrow, any problem for you? And then, what makes you prosperous when you give up? What is that which, if abandoned, will make you prosperous? And what is that which makes you happy if you give up? So the Sanskrit better to, these are all very wonderful verses, so I would like to read that. Kimnu hitva priyo bhavadi, kimnu hitva na sochadi, kimnu hitva arthavan bhavadi, kimnu hitva sukhi bhavet. So the answer is, if you give up pride, it makes you always happy, relieved. And if you give up anger, it will make you always happy. It will not create any kind of grief or sorrow. And if you give up desire, it ensures your prosperity. And if you give up desire again, it makes you happy once for all. These are some of the fundamental questions and answers. Another question is, you know, who is a friend of one who is traveling? Who is a friend at home? Who is a friend to one who is sick? Who is a friend to one who is about to die? I mean, kimsit pravasado mitram, kimsit mitram grihe sataha, adurasya cha kim mitram, kimsit mitram marishyataha. The answer is very interesting. Learning is a friend of a traveler. Of course, there is another interpretation. A caravan, maybe horse is a friend of traveler. That's a superficial meaning. But a horse for a traveler is learning. So what's the most useful thing when you are away from your home, when you are not in the midst of your friends, when you are in a totally strange country, when nobody knows you and you don't know anybody there? Who is your best friend who can help you to subsist? Learning, vidya, that is the answer. There are different verses on this, but the most well-known interpretation is the caravan or the horse of a traveler in a foreign country is his own learning, what he knows. Because the learning will accompany you wherever you go. Your wealth will not accompany you. Your friends may not accompany you. Happy circumstances that you are used to may not be there when you are in a foreign country, in a strange place. You are in the midst of strangers. But what you have acquired in terms of learning, learning here means wisdom. Wisdom and learning together. Learning is what we know. Wisdom is our ability to make proper use of what we know. So they go together. And that's what's your best friend in a strange country, in a place of strangers. And who's your real friend at home? That's very obvious. You know, bharya mitram grihe sataha. Wife is your most reliable friend in your own home. And then, who is the friend of a sick man? Adurasya kim mitram. Adura means sick man. Who is the real friend of a sick person? Physician, doctor is the best friend. No other friendship can be of any use when you are sick except the association of a doctor. So doctor or physician is your best friend when you are sick. Again, charity is the best friend who is about to die. That is, danam mitram marishyataha. Suppose a person is going to die. He can't take anything with him. His fountain pen, checkbook, bank balance, home, money, wealth, friends, none. All left behind. But what he has done, that will accompany him. That's the, you know, this doctrine of reincarnation and the doctrine of law of karma. So when we have done something good, charity, good actions, good deeds, that's the only wealth that we can take with us when you leave this body. Body is gone, and along with body, everything associated with the body, home, everything is gone. But when a person dies, his samskaras, what do you call his tendencies, impressions, all this will accompany him when he is reborn again in another body. So when he is reborn, he brings with him a carry bag what you may call it. And that bag contains all your karmas, all your actions, all the good deeds you have done. That's why in the Shavasya Upanishad, you know, there's a prayer. A dying man is praying to his own mind. O mind, please think of all the good deeds you have done. Because those good deeds and the memory of having done those good deeds, charity, good actions, anything that is noble, good deeds, they will have the consequences, the results. And they will be your wealth. And that's a spiritual bank balance that you inherit when you are reborn. Again, that's why Yudhishthira tells, Dhanam mitram marishyataha. For a dying man, for a man who is about to die, his only friend is the good deeds he has done. Charity, noble deeds that he has done in his life. That is the highest wealth. The only wealth he can carry with him when he is reborn again. This should be understood in the light of this doctrine of reincarnation and rebirth. And of course, the doctrine of law of karma. So, all good actions, all good thoughts, all good words we have spoken, all will generate a spiritual bank balance. And when we are born again, we inherit this spiritual bank balance. So that's why Dhanam Mitram Marishyataha. This answers. When Yudhishthira answered all these questions, 125 questions, I have dealt with just a few questions, runs into more than 35 verses. The whole story is, in some way, there is the background, and also there is there are some verses in the coming part of the text which further give better picture of the whole story. So when Yudhishthira answered all these questions, the utmost satisfaction, Yaksha was very happy, and he actually blessed him, and all the five brothers started the journey. They continued the journey, wandering the forest. That's how the story goes. A very profound, a very well-known dialogue. We cannot do full justice to such a very profound topic, but I have made an attempt. Thank you. Namaskar. Om Shanti, 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat, Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu.